Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us this week. Before we jump into it this week, I want to remind everybody to join us and plan to join us at the FTR Transportation Conference this September, the 13th through the 16th at the Crown Plaza Union Station in Indianapolis, Indiana. I know several of you have gotten back out on the road lately and have enjoyed it. The industry events that have taken place have been very well attended, and we expect this one will be as well. We're going to bring together, as we usually did in the time before COVID, transportation industry professionals from all the various nodes and verticals across 4 days in Indianapolis, 1 day for truck and trailer equipment, 1 day for truck freight, 1 day for rail freight, and 1 day for rail equipment. We do hope that you can join us in Indianapolis this September. So do make your plans now to be with us and join us when we're in Indianapolis this fall. So let's jump in this week and let's talk about the numbers. Well, the numbers remain volatile through the first 2 weeks of the first two months of the year. And we talked about that a little bit last week. We sort of telegraphed that a little bit, if you will, last week when we said volatility is going to sort of be the new norm in 2022. And given everything that's gone on, the way things have developed in Eastern Europe over the last week, it's very clear that we're in for a volatile start to the year. And service on the rail side is going to be one of those issues that is with us through the balance of the year with no real quick resolution. And that's going to be both a headwind and a tailwind potentially in the second half of the year as we start to work through resource levels, as we sort of work through volume levels and try to right-size the network, right-size the different routes and the different crew bases to the amount of volume that is out there. The more that volume is a moving target, the harder it is for the carriers to adjust to it, precision scale railroading or not. It is hard to go up and down over time when you're reacting to volumes. So let's jump in. Let's talk about intermodal. Intermodal volumes have been very flat over the last 3 weeks. It's almost like the movie we've seen before at the end of 2021 where volumes just didn't move very much. And that's sort of what we have over the last month in intermodal. The volumes really haven't moved a whole lot. They've just sort of hung out at the same level they've been at, right around 350, 348 or so thousand carloads a week, basically right at the five-year average. You would look at this chart, you would look at the intermodal volumes, and you would say, where's the fire? What's the problem? Where's all the stress in the system we keep hearing about? You wouldn't know it from that graph. You would know it even less if you looked at the trailer market. The trailer market came down 2 weeks ago. It bounced back a little bit in the last week, but certainly only a little bit. It is not back to where it was over the first 6 weeks of the year. It is not back to its five-year averages, not back to where it was last year. Normally, you see a little bit of a seasonal uptick this time of year in trailers. It is so far non-existent. We have not seen any sort of momentum in the trailer market so far through the first 2 months of 2022. On the container side, really very similar in nature to the overall intermodal volumes, very flat, right at their five-year average. No real movement at all on this number over the last several weeks. Again, very similar to overall intermodal, which you would expect given that containers are 90% of overall intermodal volume. So let's shift gears now for a minute and let's talk about the carload markets. Carload volumes have been very volatile through the first 2 months of the year. It's been sort of a roller coaster ride of up and down and up and down and up and down, and we'll go up for a couple of weeks and then we'll go down again. And right now, we're at a down again point in the carload roller coaster of 2022. We started at a very low point coming out of the holidays. We came back a little bit, then we went down, then we bounced back, then we took another step down, basically to where we are right now in the latest week, and then we came back up. It's moved all over the place, really, for the first 8 weeks of the year. We are well off the five-year average, and we are essentially in line with where we were last year at this time, except I will remind you that last year at this time, we were still recovering from the Gulf Coast freeze that impacted production in a lot of manufacturing and chemical facilities in Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi. That whole refining belt was still working its way back. So saying that we are in line with last year is not necessarily a good thing in this instance, because it is all a factor, all a matter of the comparison period. Economically sensitive freight has had a similar roller coaster ride to overall carload markets, except it's been a little bit more dramatic. It's been a little bit more up and down. This is, you know, if the carload market was a wooden roller coaster, economically sensitive freight was the steel loop-de-loop roller coaster, where you have a little bit more up and down. You have a little bit more unexpected twists and turns to it. Overall, the trajectory is the same, but it's still a little bit more jarring, a little bit more not for the faint of heart. And we are, just like in the carload markets, below our five-year average, essentially in line with last week, but we've been very volatile in our route to get there. And just as a reminder, economically sensitive freight, when we talk about the industries, that means economically sensitive freight excludes coal, excludes agriculture, and excludes petroleum. It looks at just those sectors that are more closely tied to the underlying economy. Things like lumber and wood, things like metals, things like automotive, those sorts of sectors. So let's shift gears and let's talk about coal. Let's talk about the bulk markets. We got, surprisingly so, back to our five-year average 2 weeks ago. Now, we took a step down in the latest week, but we're above where we were last year, and we are certainly at a very strong level for the coal market. The coal market, as you'll remember if you heard me last week, you know, getting back to the five-year average was sort of nothing short of a miracle. And we took a little bit of a step down the last week, similar to many of the commodities in the carload space that we'll look at. It seems as though most commodity groups took a step down in the latest week. They took a retreat of some sort. It'll be interesting to see as we go forward what happens to coal. You have, obviously, the unfortunate tensions in Eastern Europe, but they have real practical effects on commodities markets, on transportation, on supply chains. And one of those repercussions is the fact that energy prices and natural gas specifically has gone up. And we're now not expected to see the typical seasonal pattern. Normally, when you get into March and April, you start to see a little bit of a decline in natural gas demand, a decline in natural gas pricing. We don't expect to see that this year. And that's going to keep coal more competitive for electricity generation, both domestically and abroad. And that's going to help support volume levels for longer. And we'll have to see what that means. But certainly over the course of 2022, our expectations for coal volumes should be a little bit higher than they were before things broke out in Eastern Europe. Grain is another one of those sectors that stands to benefit. It took a decline in the latest week, as with most commodities. It's right at its five-year average. Certainly, the weak Canadian harvest last year is going to limit some near-term upside, but ultimately, even in the near term, you're going to have some incremental demand. When two of the world's largest grain producers, Russia and Ukraine, are both, for all practical purposes, out of the global markets, that puts pressure on buyers to go to other places to find demand. They have to go to South America, North America, and given Canada's situation, that largely means U.S. product going into those other places. We've certainly seen the effect of that in the commodities price. If you look at the price of wheat, you know that over the last week, we've hit limit up a couple of days. That's volume that's going to have to move. That's volume that somebody has bought and paid for and is going to want to see the transportation sector move. So you're going to see grain volumes tick back up here in the next couple of weeks, and that's going to be all volume that was not expected when the year began, not something that you could have foreseen or forecast. Certainly, no one wants to forecast an outcome like we've seen over in Eastern Europe, but it certainly does have effects on volumes. So let's come a little bit closer to home and talk about the chemicals markets. Chemicals have started off strong. They've been above the five-year average every week of the year, including in the last week when they took a little bit of a downturn. They're still above the five-year average. And we would expect chemicals to continue to run strong. You have chemical production both for export and domestic consumption. You have U.S. producers that use natural gas as their feedstock, whereas most of the rest of the world prices their feedstocks off of crude or naphtha. The price of natural gas has certainly gone up in response to the tensions in Eastern Europe. It has not gone up nearly as much as the crude price. That has widened the spread for U.S. chemical producers relative to their competition in the rest of the world. That should continue to support volumes as we go forward here over the next weeks and months. Speaking of energy, speaking of petroleum products, so far we haven't seen petroleum products volumes respond. We're right about the five-year average, but certainly in the next couple of weeks we should see a response here. When you think about what the crude price has done, gone over $100, now over $110 per barrel, that is going to have repercussions. That is going to make it economic to move crude by rail once again, and we're going to have to see this number inflect to see it happen, but it certainly should happen now over the next month or so. We should start to see that get reflected here in these numbers. Stone, sand, and gravel had gotten back to the five-year average 2 weeks ago. It took a step down. Now it's back below its five-year average. We'll see where it goes in the last week. Does it bounce back up to that five-year average number, or does it continue to languish closer to the level that it was at last year? We'll have to wait and see. Lumber and wood, a noticeable step down, a more noticeable step down than a lot of other commodity groups in the latest week. Certainly down below the five-year average. It had been very close to its historical average for most of the year, and we expect it's going to bounce back to that five-year average level going forward and not stay at these levels, but we'll just have to wait and see. Lumber is one of those categories, those commodity groups, that I've called out in the past in this podcast as being one that has a downside risk when you think about the course of 2022 and the economic drivers behind it. We'll have to wait and see if this is the start of that or if we're going to go back to that five-year average as we go through the next several weeks and months. Pulp and paper, very close to its five-year average. Just not a whole lot of momentum in any direction here. Pulp and paper, as I've talked about before, has some headwinds this year. With everybody going back to work, going back to shopping malls, you have less e-commerce demand, less online shopping. You have less demand for cardboard boxes, less demand for box board, pulp board. That is going to be a headwind for this number as we go forward. So the fact that it's holding in as steady as it is through the first 2 months of the year is a positive sign for sure. So now let's wrap up with automotive. And automotive continues to be a sad story. It continues to be a weak number. It continues to be at a very low level, right around 20,000 carloads a week, below last year, below the five-year average, by 5,000 to 7,000 carloads each week, because the automotive supply chain can't get enough semiconductors and other parts to be able to ramp up production to where it would like to, given demand, given low inventories. We expect that you will see this commodity group inflect positively when those hiccups get ironed out. But every time we get an update from this sector, it seems like they're pushing out the date further and further into the future as to when that will be resolved. And so we actually are looking now at this being a 2023 phenomenon, that we're not going to see it in 2022, that everything going on, all of the issues both around supply chains and around geopolitical developments, we think it's pushed out in ironing out of the automotive industry's supply chain constraints. And so we won't see this number inflect until 2023. Certainly, there's a lot of risk in that number. There's a lot of risk in that assumption. It could certainly still be the second half of 2022. But right now, we're unwilling to say that it will be in our base forecast until we get a little more color around the sector and can actually see an improvement in the semiconductor supply chain and see production volumes start to inflect as a result of that. So to wrap up this week, intermodal and carload have both had a high level of volatility to start the year. It's been a roller coaster ride, really, to use my earlier analogy. That's very true for a lot of these sectors, and it's not going to change anytime soon when you think about the fact that service is going to continue to be an issue, that we're going to continue to have manpower issues through at least the middle of the year, to the fact that the tensions in Eastern Europe show no sign of abating anytime soon, the fact that we're going to continue to have disruptions in the supply chain, changes to sailing schedules for those goods that come in from other countries. It's going to continue to be a roller coaster. So strap in and prepare for the ride and the adventure that is going to be the rail markets, and particularly the rail carload markets, over the course of the year. And with that, I'm going to sign off for this week. As always, feel free to reach out to myself or any member of the FTR team if you have any questions about the industry, about the markets, about what you're seeing in our reports, what you're seeing in the podcast. Feel free. Always happy to talk about the market. It is why we get up in the morning to talk about transportation. Don't hesitate to reach out anytime, day or night. We are always around. And with that, have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week. I am Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR, and your host for the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update Podcast.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight Podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.